tuned in to the His Hardline podcast, where we ignite independent and accurate thought, break the chains and shackles of mental bondage, challenge societal norms, and traverse through the timeless teachings of our Heavenly Father. Join us as we liberate minds and embrace the power of the Great Awakening while embracing true sovereignty. Welcome to the show.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Thank you for tuning into the His Hardline podcast. And if you've got to find more shows like this, along with our social media links, you can find all that at hishardline.com. That's www.hishardline.com. I am Jason, your co-host, with our Sovereign Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, at my side, because he is the host with the most and the most high. He's at the helm, behind the wheels, in the captain's chair, and he's steering this great ship of ours through these crazy rough waters in this storm that we call life. So welcome to His Hardline. Today's show is titled EDU, Lesson Number 10. It's titled Personal Responsibility, and it is Lesson Number 10 out of the Field Training Manual 2000-25, and we will be doing a reading out of the Book of Luke, Chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Daily disclaimer, I want to clarify that while I serve as a lawful and honorable member of the Michigan General Jural Assembly in good standing, I am not the official face or voice of any national, state, county, or general assembly. And remember, I do not advocate for violence unless it's in self-defense of your family and those around you. And please note that the opinions, thoughts, and statements expressed on this platform are solely my own and for educational and entertainment purposes only. So, personal responsibility is what the name of the game is going to be for this lesson today. So when contemplating responsibility, I personally envision someone who takes initiative and assumes accountability in any situation. I think essentially instead of passing the buck to someone else, like a lot of people tend to do in today's society, I think responsibility needs to rest with the personal individual. You know, responsibility seems to be a very scarce trait in a lot of people today, which is a bit disheartening when you think about it. It really is. Now, I'm not saying it's non-existent, but it does appear that fewer people nowadays hold themselves accountable compared to the past. You know, responsibility, in essence, is the ability to respond appropriately in any situation. You know, it's a commitment to act with integrity, regardless of the circumstances. Now, what does responsibility mean to you? You know, when you break down the word responsible, it can be broken down into three separate parts. You've got res, R-E-S, right, which is a prefix, which comes from Latin and means again or back, right? And then there's spondeo, spelt S-P-O-N-D-E-O, okay, which is a Latin root meaning to promise or to pledge, okay? Now, this is when I looked up the etymology of responsible. So part of that is spondeo. Again, a Latin root meaning to promise or to pledge. And then the third part, the last part, which is a suffix, ible, I-B-L-E, which is derived from Latin, indicating capability or capacity. So like when you put all those together, responsible, it essentially means capable of fulfilling or carrying out a pledge or promise. It denotes the ability to be trusted, to do something, and to be accountable for one's own actions or obligations. But, you know, why does it seem like our society today lacks so much responsibility than it used to? You know, there could be several reasons for that, why responsibility seems to be lacking in today's society compared to the past. One factor, I think, could be shifted in cultural values over time, where the rise of individualism, you know, has taken shape and a focus on personal gratification has grown. You know, there seems to be less emphasis on collective responsibility and accountability. Also, I think another element to kind of really pay attention here is to the fast-paced nature of modern life, right? Coupled with advancements in technology. You know, I think that could contribute to a sense of detachment and disengagement from personal responsibilities. People might feel overwhelmed or distracted, right? Making it easier to shirk accountability. I think societal structures and systems, additionally, right, may have evolved in such a way that it inadvertently promotes irresponsibility. For example, the prevalence of finger-pointing and blame-shifting in politics and media and TV sitcoms can normalize such behaviors, right? We see it all the time in Hollywood, in a lot of our sitcoms. You see it in that show Everybody Loves Raymond. That happens all the time in that show. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why responsibility seems to be deficient nowadays than it ever used to be. But overall, you know, the reasons for the perceived lack of responsibility, I think, in modern society are complex and multifaceted, that's for sure. And I think it reflects a broader cultural, technological, and societal shifts over time. So we're going to get into personal responsibility on the other side of the prayer here, or the reading, the Bible reading. Again, it's lesson 10 from the Field Training Manual 2000-25. But first, let's get into the reading. Let's get a little Bible in us for a second, because we always have to center God around everything we do. It's so vitally important. God has to be centered at everything we do, from the podcast to how we, you know, raise our families, to how we do our work at our day jobs, right? We always have to put God at the center of everything we do. Well, Jason, that seems a little bit outlandish. No, not really. Because if you want to have a life that is going to be guided by God, you have to involve God in every facet of your life. And that's why I like to make sure I put a Bible reading in the middle of each podcast. So, without further ado, let's get into Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. And this time I'm reading from the New International Version, something I rarely do, but I know some people like that version, so I'll read out of that today. Starting with verse 25, again, Luke chapter 10, verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus, and he's a teacher. He asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law?" He replied, "How do you read it?" And he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And in reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers, and they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and he saw the man, and he passed by the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense that you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robber?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." And Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." And that is the reading of Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. So what can be taught here? Very good lesson in loving your neighbor, something that a lot of us, I think, need to do better at doing, including yours truly, not excluding myself from that statement. So the parable of the Good Samaritan is a powerful illustration of personal responsibility and compassionate action. In that story, the man who was robbed, beaten, and left for half dead on the other side of the road is a very good lesson that we could all really internalize and apply in our everyday life. Because in this story, as we read, you had a priest and a Levite. Now, let me repeat that again. A priest. You had a priest and a Levite who encountered the injured man. They passed by without offering assistance, and maybe perhaps out of concern for their own ritual purity or fear of becoming ritually unclean. But either way, however, the Samaritan, a member of a group that was despised by the Jews, comes upon the wounded man and immediately takes action. So first, the Samaritan demonstrates personal responsibility by taking the initiative to help, right? He owned the situation, even though he didn't have to. He owned the situation, thankful for, because of compassion. And despite the potential risk and societal prejudices, he chose to prioritize the well-being of the injured man over his own concerns. Now, that is what you call selfless love for your neighbor. He didn't wait for someone else to intervene, but instead he took immediate action to provide aid. What a man. What a guy. Secondly, the Samaritan shows resourcefulness in his response. He used his own resources that he had at hand, such as oil and wine, for cleansing and conducting basic first aid, as well as, he used his own animal, his donkey, right, for transportation. He doesn't wait for specialized help or pass the responsibility, again, passing the buck to other people, but makes the most of what he has to provide immediate assistance. Again, an act of love and selflessness. His commitment goes beyond mere first aid. The Samaritan takes the injured man. He takes the injured man to an inn and not only personally cared for him throughout the night, but then in the morning he arranges for ongoing care, promising to cover any additional expenses upon his return. And this level of commitment really, really reflects a deep sense of personal responsibility on a deeper level towards the well-being of another human being. And finally, that Samaritan demonstrates accountability for his actions. He not only provides assistance, but also ensures that arrangements are made for continued care, taking responsibility for the outcome of his actions and his decisions. I mean, overall, the parable of the Good Samaritan, it really, really teaches us that personal responsibility involves taking proactive steps to help others in need, not just holding yourself accountable when mistakes happen, but really being proactive in the assistance of others, using whatever resources are available, committing to ongoing care, being accountable for the consequences of our actions, and so on, right? It challenges us to consider how we can each play a role in caring for those around us, regardless of the social barriers, regardless of personal inconveniences, regardless of thinking about what's in it for me. Don't do things for other people with the expectation of a reward or some sort of payment or of any kind. Do it because it's the right thing to do, and that's what you would want to have done to you, or at the very least to somebody that is in your family that, if they're helpless, you would want somebody like the Good Samaritan to come along their path and give assistance. I love that story. It's a great parable, which leads us into the education segment, Lesson 10, about personal responsibility from the Field Training Manual 2000-25. Now, we're going to continue on. We're down to the last couple lessons, starting with Section 136 about responsibility of the present. Civilization is builded upon the experiences of the past, and any improvement that have been accomplished are the results of human achievement. No system of living has yet been devised that relieves the individual of his personal responsibility for the improvement of human society. By personal effort, each individual should pass on to posterity a civilization better than he found. The sense of personal responsibility increases with the advancement of civilization. Not only have desires and wants multiplied, but with the advance of physical science, there is also a quickened moral sentiment and spirit of philanthropic sympathy, and increasing recognition of the responsibility of each man for his fellow citizen. American civilization dynamic is expressed in power, the power of the individual citizen in the driving force of his initiative, adventurous spirit, self-reliance, and dogged energy. To the American, life is a great adventure. Human wants, desires, ambitions spur mankind to achievements. Never satisfied, ever progressing, civilization has constantly improved, and with the improvement have come burdens and complexities which add more and more to the problems of human society. Now, through equality of opportunity, America gives each individual citizen an equal chance, yet his ability, intelligence, and character distinguish and classify him as progress is made. When America was new, she called upon the racial stocks of the world to give their best, and out of these, she has built a great nation. The intelligent, though uneducated foreigner, might have continued to live in his native land without the slightest mental awakening. Once landing upon American soil, he quickly catches the spirit of his new environment, takes advantage of the free institutions, and finds opportunity for development to his fullest capacity. In modern progress, America leads the world. The American citizen, whether native or foreign-born, must recognize his obligations to assume his responsibilities not only to America, but also to the entire world. Section 138, individual responsibility. In the very nature of the organization and form of our government, our free institutions, and the lack of all authority and order other than that created by the dictum of the people, the security and perpetuity of America rest upon the individual responsibility of her citizens. Section 139, education. It is the duty of every citizen to obtain the best possible education. To shirk this responsibility is to be unworthy of the blessings of liberty and untrue to his own best interest. Every new device, discovery of science, enlarged market, added production, facility of communication and transportation carries with it a demand for an educated citizenry. Society, economics, local and foreign politics add their demands for educated leadership and participation. Greater opportunities await the educated and fewer the uneducated with each passing year. It is the responsibility of every citizen to become fully informed, for through education is found the only sure means of perpetuating and improving our social structure. Section 140, high standards. Now, civilization is not a circle, but a pyramid. At its base is found the constantly increasing mass of humanity. And out of this common material, the world has been busily engaged in building the structure of civilization. No one is compelled to remain at the base of the pyramid who has within himself the ability to find his way up. And from that base have come most of the great men in history. Few born in riches or high social positions have ever achieved greatness. That's right. And stepping away from this for a second, just to add to that, I love that sentence. Few born in riches or high social positions have ever achieved greatness. That's right, because when everything is given to you, and you don't have to work for those riches or those positions of power, then, you know, when you're born into that, you basically bypass the process of developing character and learning from mistakes along the way. And therefore, with learning from those mistakes on your path to obtaining riches or a certain social position, which, you know, gets you into a certain, you know, element in society or in business. When you don't go through the struggles and perils to achieve that greatness, you don't learn the valuable lessons in life. And quite frankly, I think it also takes away the ability in the process of actually being humble and keeping in the back of your mind a vision of where you came from so that it never gets forgotten. Never forget where you came from, right? Back to the reading. By your system of government, America is at the mercy of those at the base of the pyramid. And if through individual initiative and proper leadership, they win their way toward the apex, they lift America also. If they remain inert, ignorant, indifferent, they become the common prey of unscrupulous leaders who seek to weaken or destroy the structure of our government. Stepping away from this for a second, we do have a society, a general public in America that is inert and ignorant. And yes, dare I say, indifferent. This is why the corporate de facto government has been indiscriminately preying upon the common people, the population. It talks about unscrupulous leaders. Not only do we have unscrupulous leaders, but we have tyrannical, oppressive leaders. And yes, because this is an operation to take down America from within, they are destroying the structures of our government, the de jure government of we the people. Hence why there is such a concerted effort to continuously distract us and to keep us stupid, to keep us away from the knowledge of what it takes to take down their corporate cabal set up de facto government. They don't want us knowing the power we truly hold. Now, on the topic of character, the next section here in this lesson 10 is called National Character. National character is the sum of every citizen. The nation has the right to expect each citizen to maintain high ideals, and he has a right to expect the same of his neighbor. Speaking of neighbors, the resulting measure of satisfaction should spur any right-thinking individual to such attainment. The actual worth of a citizen to himself, his community, his country, regardless of any other accomplishment, is based on the high quality and standard of his thinking. Obedience is higher to higher impulses builds up self-respect, without which no true success is possible. Community and home. The United States has been developed by a succession of communities, independent of each other, yet closely related in their social, economic, and political interests. The character of the community is determined by the character of its homes, and the character of its homes is determined by the character of each individual citizen. He is the only person upon whom responsibility for community and home can be placed. Section 141. The importance of active citizenship. Good government is the particular responsibility of the individual citizen in whom final authority is vested. It will be no higher in its ideals nor just in its administration than the sum of our national character. The first and paramount duty of every citizen is to have a firsthand knowledge of the Constitution of the United States, or I should say for the United States, not of the United States, because for the United States was the organic Constitution, the original in its form. Continuing, he should learn the accurate, comprehensive, and masterly statement of the six principles of government as contained in the preamble and the plan for setting up and maintaining a representative form of government. It is in this document that individual rights and fundamental duties are set forth. Now, American citizens are the stockholders in a great corporation, the government of the United States. They annually spend $3.5 billion in the cost of government. One citizen out of 13 gainfully employed works for this corporation. Its operation requires understanding, supervision, and skillful management. I find it interesting how they even talk about this government being a corporation. Very interesting. But again, if you go back to April of 1863, that's exactly what Abraham Lincoln did with General Order 100. He basically created, when you think about it, it wasn't just with the Act of 1871. I mean, that was the initial start of creating a corporation of the United States, because in that General Order 100 basically states, among a lot of other things, but in it, it states, until the people return to the seats that were vacated, the military is going to be basically running the country under Libra code, right? Martial law. So continuing with this reading, the citizen is the governor of this republic through the exercise of his right to vote, the most sacred right of a free people. He selects its rulers and decides its issues. The proper exercise of this right requires honesty and intelligence and a knowledge concerning the dangerous tendencies that are threatening our republican form of government. He should weigh the merits of both men and issues, feeling himself responsible for the selection of proper persons as the representatives to whom are entrusted the affairs of government. The vote. To preserve American institutions, a bigger and better vote is required. Citizens must perform their political duties on election day. The entire electorate must be taught not only to vote, but to vote according to the principle and informed opinion. Our institutions are endangered and are well worth saving. In the presidential year of 1920 and 1924, almost 100 years ago, coming up this November, half of the voters of the country went to the polls. In 1926, only 33% of the electorate participated. The ultimate result of such indifference upon a government based upon the principle of the majority is disastrous. In 1928, more than 7 million young citizens became eligible to vote for the first time. While the vote and the whole vote should be attracted to the polls, it must be remembered that an unintelligent vote safeguards nothing and is harmful in its effect. I want to step away from this for a minute, from this reading. An unintelligent vote safeguards nothing and is harmful in its effect. I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, and I don't mean to sound like a negative Nancy here, but it seems like we have quite a high level of unintelligent votes, regardless of the rigging, and maybe, just maybe, now, I'm going to keep my opinion to myself. This is not the time and place for that. But I am going to say we seem to have a very high level of unintelligently voted decisions. And again, because of those unintelligent votes, it does not safeguard anything. See, so many people like to vote based off of, oh, their hatred, for example, for like in our case right now, Donald Trump, right? Donald John Trump. They vote for an idiot known as Biden who can't even string two sentences together. Simple sentences, you know, I'm talking so simple that a second grader could easily do it. But so many people out there would vote for Biden on his second term, even seeing how disastrous his first term is. They would vote for Biden over Trump just because of their hatred. That right there is an unintelligent vote because you were voting based off of feelings and not facts and not results. This is why we need an informed public. If you're not informed, ladies and gentlemen, how do you expect to make proper decisions at the voting booth? If you are called upon to be part of an impaneled grand jury, how can we expect to trust you to make an informed deliberation and decision on something that could be very monumental, where somebody's life could even hang in the balance? I mean, how can we trust people that are not well informed and they are just simply acting like a little toddler and in a very petulant and unintelligent sort of manner? Continuing the reading, public service. Many citizens are so engrossed in their personal affairs that they are not willing to devote sufficient time to the business of government, leaving most important matters to be decided by a minority. The functions of citizenship are not confined to the enjoyment of personal rights. They also involve the protection of those rights, unless the obligations of the individual citizen are fulfilled. Our entire governmental structure, with all its rights and privileges, is endangered. The indifference of individual citizens threatens the destruction of the blessings of liberty. Opportunity for patriotic service calls for leadership and ability, and too many citizens fail to respond to this obligation. Every citizen should assist in the administration of law and justice by willingness to render jury service. Nothing is more imperative. And remember, as a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, stepping away from this reading for a second, a citizen, again, is a public servant or a military service member. People like myself, who is not a military service member, nor active or retired, and I don't hold public office, I'm not appointed in any position, I am not classified as a citizen. I did not move in from a foreign country and took a naturalization test. So by definition, I am not a citizen on any of those definitions. I am a civilian, but I am not a citizen. Every citizen should assist in the administration of law and justice by willingness to render jury services, and nothing is more imperative. He should bear a proportionate part of the burden of taxation without an attempt at evasion. That's right. He should respect the rights of others, both by precept and example. He should be willing to assume the duties of any public office to which his fellow citizens may call him. I don't know about you, but it sounds like that's what we're about to do. Hint, hint. He should be useful and loyal, aiding in all public undertakings through a wholehearted cooperation for the welfare of all. In every national emergency, which, let me just remind you, ladies and gentlemen, we are still in an active national emergency. Continuing here, but in every national emergency, the people have produced their leader, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and when diplomacy has failed, as in the World War, the people have volunteered. Hint, hint, that means get involved with your assembly, volunteer your time to be involved in the National Assembly, in your local General Jural Assembly. Hello. Law and order. The best government is that in which justice is most evenly administered. The better our government, the more prosperous and contented the people. Every time the citizen assists the administration of justice, he makes a material contribution to the welfare of all. Military men and women out there who are in active duty and both retired, I hope you are listening to this particular lesson very carefully. Every citizen should observe and respect the law. It is no excuse that if a certain law interferes with his personal habits, desires, or beliefs, he should disregard it. Absolute acquiescence in the decision of the majority when legally expressed is the vital principle of republics. It is your responsibility not to contribute to the defeat of justice, either by evading the law or consenting to its evasion by others. Let me repeat that: military, retired, and active duty. It is your responsibility. Again, this is from the war manual, so don't kill the messenger here, okay? This is from the Field Training Manual 2000-25, which was released in 1928 by the War Department to the Army. It is your personal responsibility not to contribute to the defeat of justice, either by evading law, like common law, or consenting to its evasion by others. Statutory laws are presumed to be just. Again, presumed to be just and for the benefit of all law-abiding citizens. No greater responsibility rests upon the citizen than to demand just laws and their enforcement. There is nothing more degrading, more destructive in its effect upon personal honor and character than evasion of law, bribery of officers, and contributing to the delinquency of others. Boy, that just explains DC right there in a nutshell. Evasion of law, bribery of officers, contributing to the delinquency of others. Oh, that's DC all day long. And all its subsequent corporations and municipalities across this land in America, the corporation of America. Respect for its authority, compliance with its laws, acquiescence in its measures are duties imposed by the fundamental maxims of true liberty. The basis of our political system is the right of the people to make and alter their constitution and government. Let me repeat that. The basis of our political system. The basis of our political system. Oh, mic check 1, 2 for a third time. The basis of our political system is the right of the people to make and alter their constitution and government. But the Constitution, which at any time exists till changed by an explicit and authentic act of the whole people, is sacredly obligatory upon all. The very idea of the power and the right of the people to establish government presupposes the duty of every individual to obey the established government. That was a quote by George Washington in his farewell address. The highest test of good citizenship is obedience to all laws. We cannot develop and keep alive the high sense of civic duty and pride by half-hearted allegiance to the Constitution. There should be no such thing as an oath to support the Constitution with mental reservation. That was a quote by W.B. Sicaney. The law of the state of Illinois provides that every male person above the age 18 years must respond to the call of the police officer in securing and apprehending an offender, and provides a penalty for failure to do so. A good citizen will never hesitate to inform an officer of any criminal act of which he has knowledge and to assist in apprehending a criminal in the aid of the officer in his prosecution. Under the laws of Illinois, a person who has knowledge of a crime and conceals it is also a criminal. Well, you better lock up 2/3 of Chicago. I bet you a lot of people in that city has knowledge of a crime. Section 142, public opinion. Now, within each community, there is an invisible government which we call public opinion. Without this force, our courts and police would be powerless in their effort to control. Only in proportion as public opinion backs the law can it, or will it, be enforced. To protect the land from the overflow of our great rivers, we erect dikes along their banks. The moment a sand boil appears behind a dike, a crew is rushed to the place and repairs are made to prevent a break that might bring disaster to thousands. Public opinion expressing the true character in home and community is like the dike that protects America from the overflow of crime, immorality, irreligion, and injustice, which, if allowed to break through, will do an irreparable damage to the free institutions of America. Public opinion reaches an uncommonly high level because every citizen is called upon to express his own judgment in community and national affairs and to work for the betterment of his town, county, state, and country. Section 143. Excuse me, I didn't finish one sentence. It is your personal responsibility to mold and control public opinion. And let me step away from here for a second. And this is one of the reasons why we're starting to see so much more information being uncovered about all these quote-unquote truthers. I hate that term anymore these days, because we're understanding that a lot of these quote-unquote truthers are pretty much the bought and paid for Flynn Network, trying to control public opinion. Section 143, responsibility can be transferred. Responsibilities gravitate to the man who can shoulder them, and power flows to the man who knows how. The recognition of the inequality of ability and the equality of moral obligation makes individual responsibility distasteful to the defective citizen. Efforts are being made to supplant the individual responsibility of American citizens with state responsibility, which destroys self-respect, ambition, and national character. It demands state control, which not only promises to relieve the citizen of his individual responsibility, but it also deprives the individual citizen of his personal liberties. And remember what liberty means, ladies and gentlemen, stepping away from this. Liberty, okay, everyone keeps talking about, well, we need our liberty back. Well, liberty is for our public servants, which basically grants temporary freedom. You are at liberty to operate in the way we tell them they can operate, being our public servants. See, we in the civilian world are free. We in the civilian world, okay, in charge of the de jure government, the Republican form of government, we have freedom and sovereignty. But a citizen cannot be a sovereign citizen, and they cannot be free, if you will, but they do have liberties, which is a temporary freedom granted to them while they are in public office, while they are serving as a public servant. Continuing, it is the duty of every American citizen to prevent the destruction of our republic and individualistic form of government by any such destructive political philosophy. Last section, 144. Our example of individual responsibility. The closing words of the Declaration of Independence reveal the seriousness with which the signers fulfilled their personal responsibility. And I quote, "For the support of this declaration with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." And that is the complete reading of Lesson 10 from the Field Training Manual 2000-25. Personal responsibility. Everybody, it seems like today, who follow the quote-unquote truther movement, they keep hearing this phrase, grab your popcorn, enjoy the show. The white hats are in control. The patriots are in control. Where have you heard that from? Oh, I don't know, X-22? Wayne Willett, 107? Nino's Corner, Patriot Street Fighter? You hear this from so many trusted or perceivably trusted voices out there that you've grown to know over the last 3, 4, 5+ years. Everybody is so eager to hear what all these voices say, including my own, right? I'm no different. But see, the difference between me and a couple select others out there like Michelle Moore and Mike Gill and Kirk with Kirk's Law Corner, we don't ask you to follow us and believe us blindly. We tell you, ask Father in heaven for that discernment. But see, so many people out there are so quick to allow their little eardrums get tickled with the narratives that sound most exciting and intriguing to them. And, you know, while we do know that there is a military operation going on, I don't care what anybody says. And yes, that includes the people that I do trust at the moment, until they do or act contrary to that trust. But we all know there's a military operation going on. But yet you got so many people out there, and it's been discussed recently, this is all you keep hearing them say. Oh, something big is coming. Something big is coming. Well, no kidding, Martha. Something big is coming. Yeah. No kidding. It's going to happen any day now. Yeah. No kidding. Any day now, huh? For the last, 4 years? You know how many times my wife and I have held on to that? And we were stupid enough at that time to fall in that perpetual cycle of constant ups and downs. Oh, wait, something big is coming. Oh, I feel it. It's going to happen this month. It's going to happen this month, any day now. And the month comes and goes. This is before I knew about the assembly, the National Assembly, the Michigan General Journal Assembly. And then here I am eating popcorn. Oh, next month. Stuff's definitely going to happen next month. Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah. Charlie Ward even mentioned a date. Can't wait for that date. And then the date comes, and then it passes by like a little toddler riding a bike down in a neighborhood street. And just away they go. It's like, well, that wasn't exciting. Nothing happened. It was just a little kid riding a bike. What? Charlie Ward lied to me. All these people lied. It's been 4 years now. Nothing has happened yet. What's going on? You want to know why, ladies and gentlemen? It's because they don't want you to take personal responsibility for self-governance. They don't want you to take responsibility for reinstituting a de jure Republican form of government. They don't want you taking personal responsibility by taking your own affairs in your home and being in charge of it. They want you to let the corporation handle your affairs. Don't get married. Let Big Brother government take care of you. Don't get married, though. You know, we won't give you your Obama phone or your free health insurance. They don't want you taking personal responsibility for your life. See, the more you depend on Big Brother corporate government, the more control they have over you. You understand that, right? I can't portray this enough. I cannot sound this alarm loud enough. What do I have to do to get you, ladies and gentlemen, to share this podcast far and wide? So we can get this information out there. I mean, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to be more entertaining? Do you want me to yell on the mic and act like a buffoon more than I already do? I mean, what do I need to do to make this more interesting? I mean, I'm not here to entertain you. Yes, there may be elements of entertainment in it, but I'm not here to be a Jerry Seinfeld or a Martin Lawrence, or an Eddie Murphy. I'm not here to be a Matt Rife. I am not here for your comic relief. I am here to try to get you people to take responsibility for your own lives and take action. Gosh darn it, come on. Get involved with your state general jural assembly. Tap into the National Assembly conference call every Thursday. Oh, by the way, in case you haven't heard previous shows and you happen to be new over here, unlike all the other bullcrap programs out there like Tactical Civics, the American States Assembly, which is a bullcrap assembly that has no remedy whatsoever for the people, or David Straits and Bobby Lawrence's nonsense, or say, you know, Bonds for the Win by Mickey freaking Klon, KKK Klon, or, you know, any other dumb groups out there, We the County, or Life Force, or Beacon 37, none of those programs offer remedy. But more importantly, what those programs do, most of them by and large, is suck you dry of your money because they say, hey, pay $158 for this affidavit. Here, pay me $400 to attend this seminar with like-minded individuals to make you feel like you have a sense of community. But in reality, if you don't want to do that, you could cheap out and do the program online for $100 and so bucks. Oh, and by the way, we have fancy-dancy license plates for you where the cops can't even touch you. But yet, when somebody exercises those rights under a false, crappy, you know, basement-made license plate for a state national, a kid tries to exercise that right out in Utah, and he gets shot by police. Shot dead, by the way. Personal responsibility. Learn it. Own it. Embrace it. I don't know what else I need to tell you to get involved, but that's all I have for you. I'm not going to sit here and try to sing and dance up here for you to get you involved. You either want to do it or you don't want to do it. There's really nothing, there's nothing else to say. There's really nothing else to say except a prayer. So, dear Heavenly Father, in this time of uncertainty and division, it seems like we have in this country, I come before you seeking a spiritual awakening for the people of America. Lord, do we need it? May we as individual men and women of this great land grasp the importance of personal responsibility in our lives and help us to recognize when we are called to take action, to do what is right, and to humbly own up to our own shortcomings and mistakes when needed. I ask that you inspire within all of us the spirit of the Good Samaritan that we read just earlier, that we may love our neighbors as ourselves, that may we extend compassion and kindness to those around us, regardless of differences or circumstances or political backgrounds or religious backgrounds. It doesn't matter. None of that matters, right? Except reflecting on your love and grace in all that we do. That's all that matters. And as we strive for unity and solidarity, may our nation stand as a beacon of hope and righteousness in the eyes of the world and guide us in our journey towards self-governance, self-mastery, rooted in the principles of justice, equality, and freedom. And Father, we just ask, please grant us the wisdom and strength to fulfill our divine mandate as stewards of this land and nation. We want to embrace our role as guarantors of liberty and justice, upholding the sacred trust bestowed upon us by divine providence. And in this pursuit of national renewal and reassembly of our states, instill in us a deep sense of responsibility, not only for ourselves, but also for the well-being of others. And may we act with courage and compassion, imbibing the values of righteousness and integrity in all aspects of our lives. And with hearts united in faith and purpose, may we walk boldly into the future, guided by your light and grace and your Son's powerful name. Christ Jesus, we pray, amen. Amen, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. So, personal responsibility. Are you up for that challenge? Are you up for that challenge? Not a lot of people can really answer that honestly. Are you up for that challenge? I want you to reflect on that question if you're not involved with your assembly. And if you want to know more about how to get involved with your assembly, you can email Destry at contentmanager1@yahoo.com. That's contentmanager. And then the number one at yahoo.com. Or you could email me and I could forward that email to Destry if you choose. It's hishardline@gmail.com. It's hishardline@gmail.com. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, here at His Hardline, we are firm, we are steadfast, and we are uncompromising. We will not allow the enemy to ever cross this line again because it is our duty to hold that line. The enemy is seeking to lure us into apathy, complacency, fear, doubt, anxiety, hopelessness. The enemy wants you inactive, ladies and gentlemen. There's no other way to say it. And it aims to keep us enslaved mentally, hindering our progress towards self-mastery, hindering our progress towards self-governance, and reseating those seats that sat vacant since 1861. And it wants us to destroy our self-procured relationship with the Heavenly Father. We need to remain vigilant and resolute in our commitment to holding this line. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, it's a pleasure and an honor to serve you here at His Hard Line, where we are people focused and driven by the calling to serving you, commissioned to me by our Heavenly Father. God bless, ladies and gentlemen, and we will catch up with you here next time.
To find more shows like this, you can visit hishardline.com. And to learn more about your involvement with your local General Jural Assembly, you can visit national-assembly.net. His Hardline Podcast. His Hardline Podcast. Podcast. Please exercise caution regarding any organization purporting to be an assembly and claiming similar objectives such as the American States Assembly, National Liberty Alliance, Life Force, Beacon 37, RUSA Tactical Civics, or any entity diverging from the officially recognized Michigan model acknowledged by 7 countries and the United States military. Furthermore, it's important to clarify that we do not endorse or recognize status corrections.